Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Wir gerne sehen in was ist los. It's deinen Freundo Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to a brand new Nintendo voice chat. I think we're 4 weeks in a row now, right?
Yeah, although three of them have been on your iPhone.
We're on my iPhone again today, but apparently it has better sound.
And the guy that always posts that he stops listening as soon as he hears me can stop listening.
Also, you have no battery on your phone, so this is going to be fascinating.
Okay, this could be a short podcast, but as it is, I'm Audrey Drake, that's Rich George, and Sam Claiborne.
And I just want to point out, we're not doing this because it's easy or anything. There's somebody in our podcast room.
Retronauts!
We don't have time to do it anywhere else or anytime else, so. Yep. This is for the guy in Sweden who wanted us to record today.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to bed and I haven't heard you. I haven't seen the podcast. He's like, oh, wait.
We were just going to say forget it, but this is for you, buddy. Yep. Yep. All right. Now, it's been a crazy week. Tons of Nintendo news dripping all over the walls.
Dripping all over the walls?
Yep.
Of all of the ways to describe
it? There's that much Nintendo news.
Nintendo news is gross.
Anywho,
you know what? I've been so busy with the site transition on IGN. We're changing up a bunch of stuff that I have not even seen Nintendo news today.
There's not much going on. Just very quiet. I mean, it's pre E3. Like every day, I'm hearing about E3 stuff and planning E3 stuff for people. And
I saw the E3 leaked list.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that.
And by that, I guess I should air quote everything around that, because it's not like we didn't know anything on it.
It's allegedly...
It's just a list of every game we know about.
The original Pikmin on Wii U, apparently.
I mean, it's allegedly like a blockbuster list from the UK.
That was weird to me. It said Pikmin, not Pikmin 3.
Well, that was the weird thing.
And do they know anything more than you or I would?
No.
It seemed really shady.
Well, they probably know even less, because...
Their source is probably IGN's big E3 list.
Yeah, probably. Well, some dude came and said, I used to work at Blockbuster, and we just sort of speculate to make those lists and stuff like that.
So people have actually...
My guess.
Because, man, we post that stuff, or not only us, but we post stuff like that a lot. A lot of people do. Yeah. Like, Amazon says that this is the upcoming games for Christmas, and they have a date change, but, like, do retailers ever really know?
I think they do to some degree.
That press doesn't?
Like, so the Midnight Purple 3DS, for example, we saw that going to systems a few days ahead of Nintendo's official launch or announcement, but...
Heavily controlled information.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is like, I think a lot of publishers just don't really care if it gets out there to some degree. But a lot of the games that looked on there looked like pretty reasonable guesses. A lot of them already announced stuff. A lot of them, like, okay.
They're all third-party games.
Like, I don't know for a fact that Just Dance is coming to Wii U, but when you're talking about the most successful third-party franchise on Wii, like, period, with, like, whatever it was, like, 25 million sold altogether or whatever... I'm pretty sure Just Dance in some form is going to come to Wii U at some point. Pretty safe guess. But I mean, we'll see. There was some on there.
There's something fishy when I saw that one of the titles was Shield Pose.
Yeah, right.
I mean, yes, there's going to be a collection of minigames. How could there not be, right?
Yeah.
But we're not going to get Shield Pose as a separate game.
I'm pretty sure.
And fast forward a couple
and
months.
If those games,
yeah, I know.
Well, if those games
that
were...
That would be 2013.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to call it Shield Pose. That's the thing, right?
No, I know.
Like,
you know,
maybe that game shows up.
That's got to ship with it. You have to... Nintendo puts stuff in their products that shows off the product.
If they put Shield Pose, Chase Me, Battle Me all together.
I can see it being a part of like a Rhythm Fever Heaven or like a WarioWare type thing where you're doing quick little, poses
and then
it goes to the next game. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that little demo we were playing is not going to be its own game.
Do you think Nintendo is just going to completely repeat the 3DS launch of the Wii U?
No.
They keep saying that.
I know. They can say that a lot, but man.
I mean, already.
Between what they can possibly announce at E3 and then
that's such a short time period.
Well, here's what I would say, at least, is we know new Mario Brothers and we know Pikmin are coming, and that already is better than what Nintendo offered at the 3DS launch, I mean, you, Audrey, you and I thought Steel Diver and Pilot Wings were decent games, but clearly people weren't, like, wowed by them to go
six
get
months.
It.
Yeah,
so... already with Mario and Pikmin, I think Nintendo's showing a better lineup, assuming these are at launch. You don't know for sure. I agree, though, Sam. I think they need something else. There's, like, one more. They need a Metroid or a Zelda.
Don't get me wrong. I think they're good at keeping a tight lid on stuff. It's just they don't keep a tight lid on stuff that's 5 months away, usually. I just can't see that.
I mean, what would not surprise me at all is to see Mario and Pikmin come at the launch, let's say November, and then maybe we have the promise of Zelda or Metroid in like March or April the next year.
Yeah.
So there's like kind of that little bit of gap there, but at least you have something to look forward to. I would not be surprised to see them say Metroid by the end of this fiscal year.
Yeah, I'd love to see April. My number one E3 wish of everything is just a Metroid that looks awesome to play.
Sure. I think there's
normally
a lot of
I would just say Metroid, but then Other M happened.
Would you want like Do you want like a new Prime?
I wasn't too down on Other M, but I would love a new Prime.
Yeah.
I just want Retro to make something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Retro no doubt will have something. I would at this point I think bet money that whatever Retro is working on is shown and or revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's launch, I don't know.
Yeah, they've been quiet for so long, they have to show off something, I think.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are saying Star Fox, which I just don't feel like is something that,
I feel like
could show up
again.
At a Wii U launch. That just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Metroid feels likely. Yeah. Zelda even to some
degree.
I'd love to work on like the backgrounds for Zelda
or something.
Sure. That'd be
I guess my second biggest wish for E3 would then be a Nintendo first-party game that's hardcore, not a minigame collection, that's brand new.
Something
like
completely.
A new IP or just a new game?
I hate that term IP, but new, like, cool, like, set of characters and stuff like that, like, just something new.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean...
That fits the Wii U, for instance.
Yeah,
something that's like a TV thing or
I mean, that's
like that,
the thing, is like,
style.
I think Nintendo's going to need to find some sort of, like, darker, more hardcore oriented. It doesn't have to be like gory or anything, just more hardcore oriented thing that really shows off the Wii U hardware.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're going to see Assassin's Creed and, you know, Batman or whatever else shows up on the system, but I don't think those games are going to take full advantage of the system's hardware and the controller like Nintendo would or should. Nintendo would be the one to demonstrate that work. Exactly, because developers, you know, Nintendo keeps a lot of those third parties in the dark in a lot of ways. Yeah.
That's why usually when a new system comes out for the first few years, like, it's really just Nintendo coming out with the great use of the tech.
You know what I wouldn't mind seeing is like a Paper Mario or Mario RPG or something like that.
Well, Paper Mario's coming to 3DS. We haven't heard anything about that.
I think we'll see Paper Mario on 3DS for sure.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion.
I think that already looks more like the RPG style, which I guess I'm okay with, but man, I love Super Paper Mario. That game is awesome.
That was a good one. Yeah, that was a really good one.
Franchise.
Hypothetical launch lineup, whatever, showing up from the blockbusters. But what else we got?
Moving right along, probably game of the year is in the office right now. No, I'm seeing Mario Tennis Open arrived, and all of us are playing kind of addictively
since yesterday. I mean, I'm not gonna like advocate strongly for the game or anything. Mm-hmm. I think it's way too simple. But playing it, I just like...
Do you use the touchpad or the buttons?
No, I actually am all buttons.
Yeah, all
buttons.
Me as
for
well.
Some reason, like, after you guys were telling me touchpad, I went with the touchpad for a while. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing, is that the layout is on the lower screen, it divides it into, like, a lob, a, you know, spin, two types of spin, top spin, slice, and everything, like, there. So you can just kind of, like, tap and go to the right place and tap the right buttons that way. Or you can, like, do these kind of button combo type things, right? Like, And buttons are just how I do it.
Do you play with the gyroscope or do you use the circle pad?
Oh, for just looking around and stuff? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just kept the gyroscope mode on, but so it bothers me every time it switches.
It goes automatically when you lift it up. Yeah, that's right.
Well, here's the interesting thing.
I haven't switched anything.
So when you have it horizontal and the view goes a little more top-down, you have to physically control your character, say Mario. You know, you're moving around the little map, going to the little spots. If you hold it up and have the gyroscope mode on, the character will move automatically.
Oh,
for
really?
You.
They also move. I didn't realize that.
I know exactly because
I feel like I just miss balls all the time.
Well, your instinct is okay. Now I gotta move, and if you don't do it, your dude just moves to where he needs to
so
go.
So you just have to press.
So you're
buttons.
Just having to press the buttons when you need to press the buttons, which is really fascinating. It is a little bit because I prefer the top down view because I like seeing sort of my position on the court. But
and you can see like where the little brightly colored icons pop up better when it's
But it's
down.
Funny because when you're in gyroscope mode, you don't have to see because your dude will just go to that.
Yeah,
and then it just becomes basically almost like a little rhythm game where you're just hitting the button, the colored squares in the right time.
That's why I prefer the face buttons. There's a little more interactivity there.
It's funny. So I'm very visual. So because you have all the colors right there on that panel, that's I'm just like I hit blue, hit blue, hit red, and it's funny because it makes the game so simplistic in a way. I don't even sit there thinking like slice. I'm just like blue, you know. And like, had you not had that for me, I would have used the buttons and that would have been fine. But I just sort of got
otherwise
used
to you
it.
Sort of have to just memorize it. Like, okay, blue, that's B, red, A.
And I mean, I know it's
A,
funny because off the top of my head, I can tell you like X is the basic shot, and you know, and then there's the B to A combo and an A B combo and stuff like that. But just because the colors of the little pads on the court match the touch pads colors, I was just like.
Have you guys ever played real tennis?
No.
I was on the varsity team.
Like,
oh, where are you?
I lettered,
Nice. Did you run the little colors and charge
I was a major tennis player. So
so when you hit a ball perfectly, does the whole thing turn to like galaxy and you like...
and then you do a little spin and stuff.
That's one of the only like touches in the game that's like fantasy-like. A lot of it's just realistic. Yeah. And you know what's funny about the game, though, is that a big part of tennis is just like flubbing your shots or whatever. You like that's what's weird about Mario Tennis is like you never can hit out of bounds. So like everything's strategy.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you.
I like that.
3 or 4 times the entirety.
Yeah,
of
you
the
hit
game.
The net once, and you're like, how is this even possible? It almost happens.
It almost feels random.
Which
I feel
is fine
like
with me.
If you get up really close to the net and you hold, so you tap to get ready to swing, and you can tap again. You can do a little charge if you want to.
Yeah.
Usually it happens on the circle pad, but if you hit the ball too hard, you'll go out. But that's about it. Yeah. Like there's almost
you can
no
use
other
basic
way.
Tennis strategy though in the game and like and get people like pushed way out to a corner and then and nail them. So it's good, but man, like this is a type of game where it's like you have this set of fantasy characters, they all have their unique powers, and then they just don't give them to you. Everybody's like the same opponent.
Yeah.
They just get to the ball faster. That's like how the game plays. And like when I play this, I remember I think Camelot's still making this, right? They
Camelot.
Made all Toadstool Tour, golf games,
all the tennis and golf games,
which is and they. have had reasonably complex, like, cool stuff. I think there was one with bosses before.
I know there's one with a sort of RPG-esque thing. That's what the Game Boy Advance one.
Yeah, I just don't see why you would go away from that ever. I have no idea why you do that. Because, like, when I was thinking, like, if it would be... I haven't played a Mario Tennis since, like, Game Boy. But I was hoping it would be, like Punch-Out, where it's like, this character, I'm going to have to figure out his skills and like use mine against him. Like, you could do so much more with this.
The closest
and, like,
they have
you don't
is
do
their
it
little classes, like some are tricksters or some are speedier
I mean,
or whatever.
Boo is probably the closest to being kind of weird, because he'll, like, do little teleports and weird crap like that.
But overall, though, everybody's the same. It's just not a single player
game. That one
game.
Thing that bothered me.
I can't wait to play multiplayer. Like,
on that regard, is that you can customize your Mii if you play with your Mii with the little tennis outfits and shoes and all of that, but you can't do that if you're just playing as the regular Mario characters. So if you want to play as Yoshi, but you want to, like, give him a tennis racket to up his speed, like, you can't.
And people are gonna people are gonna take my comments and be like, oh, he hates the game, but, like, the customization is totally gimped. Actually, I don't like it very much, for kind of the reason you're explaining. Like, the any customization abilities you get cannot be applied to your core characters, like the characters you probably want to play as. And while I think it is cool that I can customize my Mii and I can get them full-out costumes or new rackets or new little, like, wristbands and stuff...
Does it ever feel different?
That's the problem, is, like, you never have a full awareness of what your character's statistical abilities are. So you'll buy a racket and it'll be like... You have this much of slice ability and this
four
much power.
Plus,
and
there's no like, there's no like super shot or something that like makes a difference. Like, have you guys ever played Super Dodgeball for the NES?
I played Dodgeball for the NES, I think.
So there's a game called it's made by these guys. It's like other games. Like, it's from the guys that made River City Ransom. So the characters look
like the same.
Yeah, but each character has this kind of like hidden spike move, not a hidden move, but it's just like what they do, and it's unique to that character. And everyone in the game has it, and it's really cool. And like, you know, like, it'll, so someone will make, like, the ball, like, zigzag across the court.
Yeah,
so, like,
I remember those.
I think one of the Mario baseball games did something like this. But, like, I just like that. If it's, like, if you're playing with Mario characters, it'd be cool if, like, Mario Kart, each one had a skill and a personalization.
The one that's always firm in my mind is...
But even Mario Kart's moving away from that now. They don't do that anymore.
Mega Man Soccer. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good example.
I don't know if that's that game is good now, but I just remember that game vividly because I was like, Mega Man Soccer? You know, I was just like floored by it. But same idea, you know?
Because if I'm going to play like kind of a, you know, a generic tennis game, there's really good ones out there.
Yeah,
and I
can
think
go play Tiger
Sega's
Woods.
One series.
Well, there's like four different versions of tennis on the 3DS eShop right now.
Are there really?
Yeah.
The old tennis
Tiger Woods. Yeah, there's a couple on
Tiger Woods Tennis.
Anyway, yeah, there are like, yeah, I mean, same thing though. Like, I want to play a Mario Golf to have clever things there.
Crazy fantasy nutso golf stuff.
Yeah,
like Kirby's golf game for SNES. It's
exactly. Like, let's do some cool stuff with it. And I agree with you that, like, the lack of that. There is one course that actually. So the courts, like, have different themes and they have different slight properties in terms of the speed at which the ball moves and the bounce.
Oh, do they really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I could even tell that.
They're
I've
very
played a
subtle.
Lot too.
They're very subtle. The only one court actually has different properties, and annoyingly enough, it's not even anything cool. It makes the bounce of the ball change. So it'll be coming straight at you, and instead of bouncing and then coming towards you, continuing towards you, it bounces and then heads off 90 degrees.
Whoa.
And you're just like, this sucks. Like, because that's just irritating, you know?
Then the AI knows exactly what's going on.
That's the problem. Yeah. You never know. Yeah, you never know, and you'll see a little, you know, your little hot spot pop up off to your right, and you're like, why is that over there? And
if they just
would have
done
like,
that with, like, everything, everything's a crazy new thing. I mean, that's like a video game at that point, not like a tennis simulator.
Yeah.
And this is just, like, not that good of a tennis
simulator. Actually, have you played doubles a lot?
No,
at
I haven't played doubles. I'd play that with people, though. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, with people, I'm sure it would be great. It's a little weird with the AI partner because it's either like, I don't know, you can almost just sort of do it yourself, but then obviously you're gimped. But if you let them do it, like, they won't always charge up their shot, even if they get to the special colored spot, and it's like, damn it, I could have gotten there and done that in that time.
It's
so
Mario Party
AI. It doesn't feel like they're terribly
the best part
helpful.
Is when they miss, you're like, you're
like,
AI.
Thanks.
You don't have to miss that shot.
Yeah.
So
it could have, the AI could have been
have you seen that video of the guy that, like, turned all the AI onto, like, very easy on Mario Party 9 and then just, like, didn't touch the controls the whole time.
No. How long did it go for?
Well, he won or something. He got really far. But it was like basically the game takes control of you when you don't control.
Right.
Which is nuts.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
I mean, what is that built in for?
I don't know.
It's just like, somebody's just drooling with their controller in their lap.
Well, it's like Fortune Street had the out to lunch mode where you can just let it keep playing while you eat a sandwich or something. It's like you're making a game assuming people are going to want to not play it.
That's pretty clever.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, that's the weird thing
about board game that works
tennis
better,
is like it has so much to unlock. Like you win or lose every match, you're unlocking something for the most part. Mm-hmm. And like you have to earn coins and there's the little extra modes.
You know what would sell this game for me? $10 download.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just nothing more to it.
Yeah, yeah. I could see 10. I would even pay 20, 30, maybe.
I mean, I'm not saying like 40, as a price though. Thing. Yeah, I'm just saying as like a quick download. Like that's what it is, because I can get an old Mario Tennis game that feels exactly the same and or much cheaper.
Yeah.
Just download.
It's lack of like sort of specialization and taking advantage of the Mario franchise is a bit unfortunate, and the fact that you can't customize the characters that you kind of know already. I personally don't really care about my Mii that much. Yeah. I mean, the other thing is I was telling somebody else this, it would be cool if the customizations to my Mii and getting little Mario costumes and stuff actually impacted my Mii on the system.
Yeah.
So then if you street passed with me, you would see my little costume. That sort of stuff
they've
would
never
be
done
awesome.
That. Yeah.
Like if it went beyond the game, but because it can't or doesn't.
That would step on the whole Find Me hat collection process,
yeah,
though.
Exactly.
It's never a good sign when Rich and I can come up with much better ideas for a Nintendo game.
I know. Like, we're not designers.
It's like I like sitting down with a game, like, I can't believe they did that. Like, even if it's bad, just like it's so wacky and crazy, but everything's just totally expected.
Someone sent an email actually saying they wondered why we don't work at Nintendo. Because we're always
I saw that. I like that reader.
Because we're not Japanese.
I mean, that's the weird thing about this game is like almost in every respect, you sit there and you find something and you're like, well, that's okay, but you could have done this and it would have been way cooler.
And that was like my criticism of Mario Kart. Sorry, Mario Party. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's a little oversimplified as well. Like, I wish you could have adjusted the controls, maybe had like beginner controls and more advanced controls.
Well, so they have the ability to like switch at least the touchpad, so you can go from like a three panel setup
to the one.
Yeah, and the three panel setup is aligned like left right, so you can do left oriented panel, left or right oriented panel, and then there's the complex setup, which is like six or seven little bits in there. But why can't I just make my own? I've got a freaking stylus. Why can't I just carve out this section? I want this
arrange
triangle.
Them how you want.
Yeah, that would be cool. Like, I want this triangle right here, and that's going to be my X.
And I only use a couple of the different strokes because, like, you can just kind of, what placement matters.
One button does all the strokes if you want. Like, all the different colors, if you just use
the
green button. The basic shot will perform all your shots.
I don't think you can
charge. I noticed that.
You can.
Is that right?
You can charge, but it's just not quite as effective. But by and large, you could beat almost the entire game.
Yeah, so most of the time, you don't really have to think too much about shots because you just
run to the
color. Run to the color, whichever one that tells you, you do it.
So
I think this is the most anybody's ever talked about a Mario. Ever.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably
ever.
True.
Congratulations.
Probably true.
Moving along.
Rich, you wrote a really cool article the other day about what Nintendo needs to do to have a successful E3, basically.
Bring me money.
Yes. Other than that, that's the unpublished version.
Let me try and remember the. There were
okay,
five.
There's
points.
Five.
Oh, you wrote them down.
I did.
Excellent.
I knew we wouldn't be able to remember. Because so we need a first-party support for Wii U, third-party support all around. We need a definition of what the Nintendo Network is, continued eShop downloads, and prove the tablet matters.
Yeah, so, I mean, just...
What about a third-pillar announcement?
Yeah, we saw that.
Bring back the Game Boy.
Bring back the Game Boy.
I would love this.
That would be kind
Game
of an
Boy.
Interesting
That would be
idea.
So nostalgic for me. I do love the DS.
I mean,
Sash 3
the
US
points
systems,
in summary are pretty simple, right? I mean, it's like, I think Wii U... Like the 3DS needed first party support at the beginning. It had a lot of little third party games, but it just needed that strong first party nudge. Like, Nintendo understands its platforms more than anybody else.
Yeah.
So you need that at Wii U, especially with the Wii U controller. You know, you just gotta have it. It's like the DS was, you know, really starting to take off when Nintendo was like, here's Brain Age, here's all these different types of games that you actually like can understand why we did this. So that needs to happen with Wii U. Third-party support is obvious.
It's just like you said with the DS. Like, Nintendo really showed the world how to make use of the dual screens. And this is a similar situation where it's very similar to the DS. There's two screens you're going to be working at, one's a touch screen. So they really need to pave the way
for third-party developers.
They need to show me what they can do with it. I've tried the freaking thing. I don't know what it can do.
I mean, there's some... Yeah, because...
Like, what is this... How is this going to make gaming better?
Like putting the HUD down there is awesome.
That should have been last year.
There needs to be more.
I agree.
I'm really confused. Yeah.
This is the thing, I think... I thought their presentation last year was really good, but over time, and I think I actually wrote this literally in the piece, over time, their demonstration held less power, because now we're sitting here now going like, well, what about this, and this, and this, and this, and this?
Oh yeah, I thought like a couple months later they'd be like, and this is what you can do with it.
More.
And then it's like, man, it's going to be a year later?
Yeah.
Do they know what they can do with
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why is it a secret?
Well, that was the weird thing, is their concept video was cooler than the actual demos we got to play. You know, I remember when they were doing the little...
Oh, you're not going to talk about that bird again, right?
No, no, I actually hated the bird. I hated the bird.
I remember.
But remember when he did the little like ninja
style
thing?
That's what I remember.
Thing?
I was sitting next to Rich, just a single tear rolled down his cheek.
He's like, that. I wasn't even sitting with you,
but
we could see it from where we were.
Remember when they're doing the Ninja Star thing and they're like kind of swiping them off the pad, stuff like that? Like, I think those are the ideas that I really want to see in action in a game. Maybe not that
in
but
a WarioWare.
Yeah, sure. Like, I think WarioWare on a with a touchpad could be really fascinating.
That'd be cool,
You know, especially because you can completely manipulate this thing, but keep your core display on the TV,
or even like draw something and then it translates to the screen. Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see games play with like, you know, what's on the screen is different than what's on the tablet, and like your character jumps from the screen down onto the tablet, and you're moving around over here.
You could do an awesome draw something party game. I'm talking about the actual game, Draw Something.
Oh, yeah.
Without
where
you work
draw,
on the tablet,
it depends
and then, like,
how many
it
tablets.
Messes with the TV.
I mean,
well,
you could pass it, though, right?
Pass it,
I mean, an expanded game-based swap note, basically, would be cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's basically Draw Something.
Pictionary's going to have a field day with a video.
I mean,
it's like the perfect interface for it.
We need all that stuff. Like, or just something very simple, like Skyward Sword, you know, how Link can dig around and, like, tunnel underground and stuff. Like, what if, you know, you could actually impact the way the tunnel works on the tablet, but while he's still doing it. You know, there's a tons of applications. It's just...
We haven't seen any.
Nintendo needs to be the ones to do that. Mm-hmm. They just have to.
Well, because they're the only ones who will. It's like with the 3DS. You know, third parties weren't even terribly interested in the system until they saw what Nintendo did with it, until they saw a strong hardware base, you know?
I would add a sixth bullet point that that thing better project a hologram when I...
Yeah, you know, the one rumor that I always, like, facepalm when people say this is the one where they're like the haptic or hoptic, I don't know how you pronounce it, touch technology, so you can, like, feel it when you touch it. And, like,
that's really...
If they don't support multi-touch on the same tablet, they're not supporting like feels
and what,
force.
What
and
would
still
you
not
want? Oh, that's what Yoshi's skin feels like. It's like a lizard.
Well, that's
like
a cool. I mean, the way I've heard it described is that like when you rub your finger across like a tablet, that actually like it'll just get like a little bit friction, you know.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like if you're like controlling on a tablet, that would mean you know where your button is, because you'll be on the smooth part in some rough area.
That's an interesting
and
idea.
And so it's just more tactile.
I mean, this thing
that's
has
like
full...
a tablet thing though. Now, this has buttons.
This has
it has buttons. It's made for that.
Who's even rumoring that? That's such a...
I've heard it around. It's just...
I hear it'll read your mind.
We're
going to
get a hologram
pancakes
for
too.
That.
Yeah, exactly. let's see. Nintendo Network. I think that one stands pretty obvious. Like,
yeah, we don't know what it is.
What the hell it is.
What can it do? Like, I'm even fine. I'm unlike a lot of people in the office. I don't really care too much about, like, my PSN account or playing online multiplayer, but I just want to... I know. I'm too retro for my own good, but...
I just want to
know what Nintendo Network is.
Sure.
Is it their PSN and XBLA? Like,
I think,
what's
I think
it going to offer? How's it going
to
be different?
I think it needs to be that, but it also needs to be more. It needs to have its unique Nintendo angle, I think. That makes
sense.
Well,
they're always going to have a large emphasis on privacy and things like that because they have such a younger audience.
I
want to
show off, like, how much of a Nintendo fan I am via it. Like, I want people to see how many freaking games I play.
That'd be cool.
How awesome I am at them. And,
I would love an excuse to get more into that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to.
That's what I like about Xbox and PSN stuff, just, like, your game list and how many trophies you have. Like, at the bare minimum, like, you know, it's worn off a lot. But originally, it was just, like, this kind of, like, cool thing where it's just, like, you know, the achievements. I can just look at my friends, what I have, and they kind of go what for they have. I mean, I think it's great. And Nintendo could do that with just, like... Just like Club Nintendo, you know, just like comparatively, just like, I'm such a huge Nintendo fan, I want to like make myself known as that on their network. I think that's a really cool thing.
The potential is huge. And I mean, the idea that the 3DS is sitting there begging to be communicated with, I mean, there's a lot of options there. It's just a matter of them doing it.
Pac-Man versus 2.
Yeah, exactly. But that would be cool, actually, to build into the system.
Yeah, they'll like try to sell it for $10 or something.
Yeah, no doubt. Which actually leads to eShop, which is just the idea that, you know, that thing needs to keep growing. I mean, it's done. They've done pretty well with it over the past year. But, you know, and they're getting ready to do full retail. But just more,
games
we need
like
more push modes.
Push
modes,
Soccer Samurai, we need more first-party support like that. Because those those are the things that made me first interested in the eShop. Before I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But those games got my attention.
Yep.
And I want them to actually support the Virtual Console. It's been a long time since we've had a new Game Boy or Game Boy Color game. No news on Game Boy Advance support.
I don't think the porting at this point, it makes them enough money to justify it anymore.
Well, then do Pokemon. Find a patch to trade, you know? Like,
yeah, I think that's the problem.
That'll do it.
They just don't sell enough games.
And
whose fault is that? They chose some really crappy games. Every week there would be like one decent one and then like three terrible ones for a couple years, and it's just if now they can't. I mean, they're out of their first party good games, right? They're just kind of out. There's a few more they could do, but
they need to bring in GBA. I think on the 3DS front, you bring in
there's
GBA.
More Battle Gear, or I mean, Game Boy Color games they could do as well.
There's a few there, and then I mean, I think on the Wii U front, I think they need GameCube. But then I think, you know, it makes sense just to make original games for this thing. But, like, don't, I mean, Pushmo's great, but, like, New Super Mario Bros. 2, it's digitally downloadable. But, like, what if they offered it, we were talking about this, like, in last week or the week before, like, break it down in installments and let me buy it digitally and, like, release it over a year. You know, they're talking about, like, expanding the lifespan, so do something.
If you'll remember, I disagreed with that.
Well, sure. I mean, you obviously, I think that the inherent, like, understanding in there is you need to have enough content, right? You can't just, like, rip me off. I don't want just, like, two levels. Like, give me a few
I mean, why would you? I mean, I guess I don't understand why you would ever want to divide it up at all. Unless you're saying that they're going to have more development time to do more stuff. Because if they're just going to develop eight levels and sell them to me separately,
well,
that'd be horrible.
I think there would need to be a good justification for it. I think that there could be good, cool gameplay gimmicks attached to that or hooked into that.
Like, if I saw episodic Mario stuff, I'd want it to be like, oh, and now it's, you know, this, you know, Pikmin game is coming out, so we're going to make a Mario-themed Pikmin level and, like, actually change
stuff
it.
Like
so
that.
I'm, like, tied into this, like, ongoing project.
And I think that could be cool. Like, imagine, like, an ongoing, you know, 2D Mario game where it, like, reflects Nintendo's current development priorities.
Yeah, instead of a freaking puzzle piece every month, I could get a Mario level or something.
But they've talked about doing a DLC for Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart, like, you could do new tracks or just an extra world or something.
Exactly.
That'd
and I mean, imagine a Mario Kart eShop where you get like four tracks, but then every few months you get a new track. Or
no, but Rich,
like
this
is
what I was telling you before. What if you got 32 tracks?
Well, right.
Like normal and then got to do, I mean, like that's why I don't want them to like do that. Because
I agree.
They're going to be like, they're going to be like the iPhone thing. Like, here's one, buy the rest. But like,
or like when
they
do day one DLC, I hate that. It's like, you made it. Give it to me.
Crazy.
I mean, they've said that they don't want to do that, actually. So what I'm suggesting,
they specifically
they don't
said
want
that,
to.
Basically.
But I actually wouldn't mind it. Like, I don't, if I paid $10 and got four Mario Kart tracks or something, that's fine by me. I don't care. Because if, you know, if, especially if the levels ended up being more reflective of other games and stuff like that, I think that'd be kind of cool. Like a new experiment, like because they got.
I have a
99-cent
Mario Kart game. You should try.
Mole Kart. I mean, all I'm saying is that, like,
it has all the mole characters. Rich.
They must experiment. That's the thing. They have to experiment.
Molio, Moligi,
Lady Mole.
Like they just can't.
Princess Molestool.
$40 game.
One. Let's just keep doing this.
$40 games don't work. Like that's just that simple. Like they've got to do some different stuff. So
game pricing has to change across the industry.
I mean that's
the
thing.
I tell you what, Nintendo ain't gonna be the leader in that.
I mean you'll never. Oh no, they definitely won't. But you'll never get a 32.
I mean they could.
I mean you'll never get a $10 Mario Kart game that has 32 levels. I mean that's just that simple. Like so they're gonna have to do something different. And our way of thinking and even their way of thinking is probably gonna.
I just remember buying Majora's Mask for like $75.
Oh I know, right?
Oh, God, N64 games.
I never had horrible N64 game pricing. I don't know why. Right.
Castlevania 64 was like $65.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I don't remember paying that much for those games.
Piece of
big
steaming turd of a game.
I'm going to get my friends bought most of those, so I just like laughed and bought and played them.
Seriously?
Because he was waiting for the new model of Nintendo 64. Yeah. He never bought one. But it'll come in rich. Just wait until E3, 2013.
Moving right along, Miyamoto hates the Vita. No,
oh,
just
yeah,
kidding.
Right.
I'm just kidding. So basically, it was really reasonable, actually. someone asked Miyamoto about...
For a giant man child.
About the Vita, and he was just like, yeah, I mean, good high-spec system. They just need games.
So. He's like, you can't play it like a guitar, though, so I just don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, he basically it's just compared really the logical. Two launches. Yeah.
As he spun it on his finger and laughed and frolicked around the room.
And spit out money and then ran. This didn't happen, by the way.
Yeah, none of that happened.
Could have. We don't know. Yeah, they have a tight lid on that guy. They don't even let him retire. He's like, oh, I'm getting old. I'd like to retire. Miyamoto is not retiring.
Yeah, they won't even let him ride his bike to work.
So. Oh, so sad.
It's always funny to hear Nintendo comment on other companies' stuff. They just don't do it much.
Yeah. Generally so speaking, they don't.
It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they tend to keep themselves in their
and
own projects.
And they view their big competitor as Apple, right?
Yeah, to some degree. I think they view their competition as themselves.
Well, you guys weren't in that room at GDC where Iwata kept putting up all the...
No, that's true.
That's a big deal for them. Yeah. That was the handheld.
I'm sure
they're
aware
time.
Of it.
I think they're aware of it. I mean,
aware of it.
Yeah,
they're aware of the largest company on earth.
Yeah,
good
no.
for Nintendo.
I mean, I don't think they set out to go compete with Apple directly. If they did, then they would be doing 99-cent games.
Yeah,
and they would
making
a phone.
They need to stop making chump money off of people for making bad games. I'm getting a little upset with them for that now. What is going on?
You're hearing like people wrestling on the second floor or something like that.
Nintendo fans need to demand really good Nintendo games.
I mean, I think
Happy Party.
But I think Apple is driving, say, their digital efforts. You know, I think that Apple is influencing how Nintendo is doing digital.
Everyone, really.
Yeah, everyone. Yep. But at the same time, like, I don't think that
at least everybody has something to strive for now.
Yeah, no, that's true. But
well, I mean, 10 years ago, like, we had no idea what selling games online would look like. Now we have Xbox Live and Apple stuff and to some extent Sony stuff, and it's just like, man, like they can just choose one of those and go with it. They'll all be good. I
mean, yeah,
that's what's so funny. They didn't need to innovate. They still don't need to innovate. I
still generally reject the notion that people have to catch up to Apple in terms of gaming. I think in terms of digital, like
not
being
gaming.
Able to download downloading and that sort of accessibility.
Yeah.
But even then, I think that Apple's store needs a lot of work because it's a pain in the ass
anything.
To find things.
Yeah.
Like if it's not right there,
or you
stuff.
Know specifically what it's called.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean.
There's so much on
Xbox
there,
Live
that's
is the best
problem.
Game store online, I think.
I like them, although I hate Microsoft's new just
the dashboard.
In general. The new dashboard I think is rubbish. I like the last one.
You just have to go through
more
steps to get to places, which is stupid. I don't know what they're thinking about.
Yeah, it was like before it was just simple. It was like left to right panels, easy.
And
now it's like 500 little boxes.
And they're getting
ads like
on Xbox Live now, which pisses me off. It's like I pay for this though.
Oh, there's ads?
Yeah. There's gonna be. Yeah. I don't might have already.
I feel like I've seen some
I'd have
ads,
to plug into Xbox, but
our IGN app, which is like very successful and really cool.
Yeah,
I really like
awesome,
it.
Yeah.
But it
go
has,
download
it.
It
feeds ads, and I think like they were looking at it the other day, and they're like, some of our advertising department people, and they're like, this is annoying. We need to change this. So we're aware also of just like, you know, ads are annoying.
They
in
are.
A lot of situations.
Especially for a paid service.
I think
an
IGN's
like Xbox Live.
Generally really good at like just kind of like being like, these ads shouldn't be in your face all the time. So.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Pokemon Conquest. What's that about?
Pokemon Conquest.
This is crazy. I was so behind that this existed.
Really?
Yeah. What is it? Romance of Three? No. It's
Nobunaga's Ambition.
Nobunaga's Ambition. What the hell?
Yeah, I know. Well,
and then they saw the art, and it's like all of them like Pokemon combined with like the traditional
Japanese
armor.
When we first heard about it, someone passed the email around, and Rich and I talked about it. We were like, I don't know if we're even going to cover this, because this is never coming to America.
Yeah,
and
we never thought it would. And then I think we put up a trailer, but I still didn't think it was
coming. Yeah, we were just like, well, here it is. Probably not coming,
this
but
whatever. This is like two like CEOs like drinking at like a sake bar or something.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this, and then they can just make it happen in Japan like that. It doesn't happen anywhere
else.
The
weird thing is it actually works really well. It's really cool.
Yeah, so what's the idea?
It's so hard to explain.
Wait, you were playing it?
Yeah, I got
it,
to
like,
demo
week,
it, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's basically like just a strategy game like Fire Emblem or Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, if you've played either of those.
Well, like Genghis Khan, Nobunaga's Ambition, Romance of the Three Kingdoms, those are like some of the earliest like turn-based games that people played on console.
Exactly.
They were on the NES.
It's
so.
Like that, but with Pokemons. And it's really, it's hard.
It's turn-based,
there's a,
right?
Yeah, it's turn-based, and there's a lot to it. Like,
is it the kind of turn-based where you set up factories, and then they make you supplies, and then you set up
There's a castle management section where you manage all.
So you have a hub castle.
Yeah, you have a hub castle where you sort of manage all of the warlords that you've acquired and their Pokemon and
you control
all
like people and Pokemon and they fight together.
Each warlord.
That's crazy to me. I thought they would just skin it with Pokemon.
No, but it's completely not
all this, like,
skinning.
Historical
they
Japanese
totally,
stuff.
Yeah, they totally melded both of them. And it's
giant crabs.
It's remarkable.
Historically accurate.
It's remarkable. Crabby. Yeah, it's remarkable how well those two worlds blend together because they're so different, but it works so well.
You
gotta
use that for your subtitle.
Yeah.
Features historically accurate giant Krabbies.
Exactly.
What does Krabby turn into?
Kingler.
Okay.
Kingler.
Yeah.
That's so weird. It's a Pokemon named after Kingler.
Yep. Whoa. Nice. I know what I'm naming my next Kingler. Anyway. But yeah, it's...
So it's fun?
It's crazy. It's really fun. There's a lot to it. There's a lot to keep in mind. Just the basic Pokemon stuff, like the stats and special abilities, and also managing your warlords, and how well they connect with each other.
So
and like, there's a lot to it. But it was what I played of it was really, really fun.
We asked for hardcore games.
I wasn't
games.
Expecting it to be like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we got
cool.
this.
We get this and Fortune Street, and it's like totally true. They are hardcore games. They're just...
Yeah.
This is not third-person shooters.
I mean, this game would have been awesome had it come out like... I mean, it still is awesome, but it would have been even more awesome
awesomer.
If it came out... I was about to say awesome. If it came out like 3 or 4 years ago,
yeah.
like when the DS was the really DS. Like... Now it's sort of like, that's awesome, but where's my 3DS one?
It's almost a shame because this game is really cool, but it's probably not going to get the attention it should because it's
people
a DS
are just
game.
Like, ah, DS is dead.
But,
you know?
Well, when
that's
we're all playing the Ultra Game Boy 128, we're going to get a bunch of 3DS games on it.
Yeah. You're like, damn it.
Yep.
They like develop these like 10 years ahead of time. I have this whole conspiracy theory about it.
Nice. Anything else?
But
quick
that's
Q&A.
It. Yeah, let's do a few reader questions.
Okay. Let's do it quick.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. Wow. Wesley. We talked about Mario Tennis.
I know,
we
for
did.
A long time.
I'm so sorry.
Go, go, go.
So sorry, everybody.
Wesley McElwain. If my battery dies, I'm sorry. We'll see you next week. NBC.IGN.com. Okay, Wesley McElwain writes in again, says, do you think Nintendo is trying or hoping to wait out Microsoft and Sony to see if either or both of them announce price cuts before they announce their price?
No. Well, yes. I mean, so here's the thing. Like,
which is it, Rich?
Yes or no?
Both. I mean, like, Nintendo was probably going to wait to announce the price anyway, but mm-hmm. that's one of the advantages that waiting gives you is you get to see if the other guys are going to do it. Mm-hmm. Primarily, the advantages are it gives you a second press boost
mm-hmm.
later in the year to announce that
you
sort of thing.
Yeah.
It buys you more time to internally figure out mm-hmm. what you're going to do.
You can hype the game without a bunch of hate from people. Like, this is too expensive for this baby
and
stuff.
And it also lets you gauge the reaction from E3 and stuff like that. Like, if everyone's just super excited, you can probably... And the mainstream press is really behind it, and everything seems to be going well for you. You go, okay, that $299 feels comfortable.
Yeah.
There's some recession-related stuff.
Exactly.
You know, if they're, like, they're in the business of making money, and they're not making much money right now, and, like, if we don't... You know, if Americans and Japanese people don't have, like, deep pockets, then they're not going to be able to...
I mean, there are a
more.
Lot of reasons for them to hold off on announcing the price. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's a factor. I don't know if a lot of it is based on whether if Microsoft and Sony put their price, because I mean, no matter what Sony and Microsoft do, they can't offer the system at $100.
Right.
Like,
Nintendo,
it costs what it costs to make.
Like, they have, like, if you just go by history, it's going to be a little too expensive. That's what it always is. And, like, I mean, that's not saying much, but it is. It's always just like, well, it should have not been that, just a little bit under that.
That,
been fine.
That was when they announced
that
the 3DS price.
And that's not us.
Like,
that's how it works.
Yeah.
It's just how they
let's
go.
Let's get in our official
they
price
go
guesses
to right, where they
right
go.
Now, guys.
I mean,
I guess $299.
$249. The price it needs to be is $249.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's $299, though.
$300.
Yeah,
and I think
not
they're going to spin it as like a $200 system and a $100 controller.
Yeah. That could make sense.
$299,
Yeah.
That could make sense. All right, moving on.
All right. Asad Malik says...
Wait, did Wesley have a second
question?
Oh,
Wesley also wants to know... Oh, he just wants
Wesley.
Us to write... why don't you read these, jerk? Anyway, he wants us to write a blog about a typical day at IGN.
Oh, yeah,
he wants
right,
to know
right.
what we do. Make phone calls, interviews, research. I mean, it's a good idea. The truth is we do a little bit of everything. There's no real typical day at IGN, you know? Like, we'll be on camera one day.
Wesley,
or...
I'm about to take a picture of our podcast setup right
this is a pretty bad one.
Instagram.
Yeah. But we do all kinds of different things, so it's hard to...
You guys, I mean, like, I think, like, it's not, like, a newsroom day-to-day thing. I have a different job than you guys, but... Yeah, so you're not, like, you're on the phone interviewing a lot. Like, that's not something you guys do.
No, but we do phone interviews, do email interviews. We write lots of emails. We do podcasts. We'll do videos. We'll publish. We'll promote articles.
Whenever I'm walking over there, you guys are writing. Like, I barely see you guys playing games at work.
No, I almost never play games at work. Even when I'm reviewing something, mm-hmm. I usually do that on my own time. Just because there's no time in the workday, you're writing or doing any of a million things.
Yep.
But yeah, so
there we go.
There you go.
I'm in a lot of meetings.
Lots of meetings.
You know, another thing you guys do, and I do too, is capture video. That's just like something true. You have to do. It's just like you have to go, and you guys have to go up to a room and do it. I have it at my desk, but
yeah.
A lot of it's sitting down at desks.
Yeah, a lot of sitting, a lot of writing, a lot of meetings, lots of different stuff. But Brian Lane, moving right along. Has there been any mention of the controller being used to multitask for the Wii U, and is that even possible? Like, could you get stuck, pull up a game guide online, and then go back to the game?
So
a
guide, we hope it's that way.
The guide, yeah. So, this one. Okay, mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, I've seen a couple different questions, so I want to make sure that's the right one.
Yeah.
The idea of, being able to pull up some sort of in-game guide help thing is... I think, fairly feasible. I saw some dude was writing in at me and saying, like, I can use one controller to play the game, then I'm going to use a second controller to do that, and, like, we don't know if even two controllers can use it.
I don't know about that, yeah.
The notion of in-game help
suspending the
stuff,
game, basically.
Yeah,
to that
seems feasible.
But why would you need to do that with a controller? I mean, that's why I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah, I think it's completely going to happen, actually, because you can do it on the 3DS, you know? You can press home and then go look online or write a little note to yourself or check your friends online and go right back to the game.
You know what's interesting is that, and I don't really know how much of this I can talk about, but in developing our IGN app, our Xbox app, we found out that there's restrictions on the Xbox cross media, the pause menu thing while you're playing a game. Like, you can't do a lot with that. Otherwise, they would have a browser and videos in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's going to be part of the next generation of stuff is, like, making stuff like that possible.
Yeah.
Nintendo, if they would get in on that, like, there are so many media companies that are, like, ready to, like, feed stuff into that.
Yeah.
Like, while you're playing a game, totally. You should be able to access a cool version of the internet and mm-hmm. watch videos and stuff like that. Like, we, as a company, as IGN, like, that's what we wanted to.
That's
we want to provide stuff for stuff like that. So
totally.
Hopefully Nintendo will do that. Microsoft's gonna.
I could see Nintendo doing kind of a gamey version of it where you, like, access an in-game thing. Maybe you solve, like, a little puzzle and get a little cheat
little
Nintendo Network stuff,
there,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see Nintendo doing a specialized version of that. But I think it's feasible,
Cool, if you could, like, hop on the Nintendo boards at the very least or something.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not going to do
that. What's next?
Darwin.
Who cares? Keep going.
Luba.
Darwin.
Says, Dear Nintendo voice chat gods and goddesses,
oh, wow.
What is your favorite Pokemon of all time and why?
Oh,
sincerely,
God.
Koopaling.
Oh, man. How many times do I have to answer
And
this?
He's the person who says that we should work at Nintendo because we're brilliant.
Yeah, see, that's
Thank
why
you,
he
Darwin.
Got his question read. I don't know. I have several. I mean, my favorite is probably...
One of
it's
all
Meowth.
Time.
We all know it's Meowth.
If you're stranded on a desert island with one Pokemon...
I mean...
Oh, that's a whole different...
I like Mew. I like Scyther.
Is that a sex joke?
What?
No, my goodness,
what
no.
What just happened?
No,
if you're stranded on a desert island, and she's like, but that's a whole nother
No, because you'd want a Lapras to get you home. Come on.
Oh.
Right?
So logically.
Lame.
Come on, Rich, speed it up.
Pick one.
Yeah, Scyther, Mew.
One.
Oh my God. Look at all the comic book ones.
Cool.
Like the superhero
I don't know. I mean, I actually do like Pikachu, too. I think Pikachu's fun.
Pikachu's awesome.
Yeah, I think he's cool.
I get behind that.
I never got super tired of him like a lot of people did. And they're like, ugh, Pikachu. I'm like, I don't know.
It's like, that's cool.
Me.
Don't catch him then.
Yeah, but I'm a huge fan of the original 151. When you start getting away from those, I'm
152
if you
include Bidoof. We've discussed this.
Okay. Anyway, I start to lose interest after 151 to an alarmingly significant degree the more you go away.
I think
from
most
them.
People feel that those are at least the most classic.
Yep.
Sam?
Chandelure.
Oh, obviously. Hell yeah. That was a high
I also,
power high five.
I also like the Squirtles in the gang.
Oh, Squirtle Squad with the sunglasses.
Cool. Yeah,
they're awesome.
Cool.
And I've said this before, mine's Bulbasaur because She was my first love.
Oh, aww. So lame. Okay, that's it.
You're lame. We have more, but...
No, we don't have
no?
time.
Okay,
your phone's
it.
About to die.
Yeah, my phone's gonna die, so...
All right, guys, thanks for listening. NVC@IGN.com for more questions. Rate us on iTunes, and we will see you next week.
We'll see you around, Koopaling.
For sure, guy in Europe, we will see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
See you on Twitter, buddy.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.